things that we've been praying for a very long time. Because we've finally got the message ourselves that there's one thing, and that is vitally, vitally important to us. It's as vitally important as air and water. And that is the presence of God. Not just knowing about him, as John Wimber just said. It's not just knowing that he did stuff. It's the experience of the Lord. And we've been praying for that, for this church, for a long, long time. And it would happen in pockets and little bits and pieces. But last week, when Vic said, "Come Holy Spirit," and his sermon was on expectations, expecting the Lord to do something, and essentially what it was doing was breaking unbelief. When we praise and expect the Lord to do something, that's not presumptuous. He says anytime you pray according to his will, it's as good as done. And so, but I think we stop right there. We pray and say, well, maybe he will. But we make a very long story short. Vic's sermon on expectations was just wonderful. Debbie stood up after that sermon and began to speak about her experience. She'd been listening to John Wimber prior to the service, and she came in all filled and glowing and excited. And I knew that there was something that the Lord was doing. And so she gave testimony. She just talked about what was happening with her. And just as she spoke, the truth of what she was saying just filled the room. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit came in wonderful ways. People were responding to it. Many people were just feeling that inner sense of the trueness, the realness, the real presence of God. And so, with that as a context, and Cody is in the other room with the youth.
Oh, okay, good.
But maybe he can come out later on and share what happened to him. But it began something that we know the Lord is going to continue. It's continuing today as well. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, and we forgot to bring it last week, but I was really talking on Acts is what I was supposed to do. We were going through the whole Bible. So I sort of, expectations was the word that I got, and so I sort of started with Pentecost. Well, last Easter, I think it was Mary Lee bought an Easter lily for us. And as usually the case, we have a ritual of when they're done with it, we take it home, we put it in the ground, and it dies. It's just, we do it every year. It's a ritual. It dies. This year, it didn't die. This year, it grew again. And that's the Easter lily plant that came from the plant that we had on Easter Sunday. And we kind of felt again like God was saying something.
Yeah.
You get into this kind of stuff, John Wimber says, it's kind of like eating peanuts. You can't just eat one. You want more and more and more. And for a lot of us, it's Lord, give us patience and give it to us right now. I want it now. Well, I got a guy who wants to share a little bit. Can you walk up here, Greg? Is that okay, or do you want to do it from there? What works for you best? Okay, go ahead. Can you stand up okay, or so they can hear you well, although you're pretty loud? Greg has waited 8.5 years and kept coming and battled MS, if you didn't know, and he's gone up and crashed down and gone into the hospital and long-term care and back up again and walks in and moves chairs around and then on and on. Tell him what happened to you on Thursday at Intercessors.
What I felt like when we were praying that the Lord just wanted me to pray for Greg, and that he would kindle a fire in his heart, that he would set his heart on fire. So I did, and Pete was there, and because in prayer it's we try to do women praying for women and men praying for men, because oftentimes we do touch people. And so I had Pete put his hand on Greg's heart, and then I could put my hand over Pete's hand. And it's not necessary to touch people when you pray for them. But anyway, I prayed, Lord, just set a fire in Greg's heart. And just gradually, I saw this big grin spread over his face. I have never seen Greg grin. Not for a prolonged period of time, a few guffaws at a good joke, but this was a permanent, pasted on, glorious grin. And one thing you know about Greg with MS, you do kind of shake anyway. And so I wasn't sure if the shaking was the Holy Spirit or the MS, but his fingers were doing this. And there was just such a clear sense of the presence of God in him. And he just said, I can't explain it. I don't understand what's happening, but he's here. Is that it? He felt warmth, Greg? Is that the way you felt? There was a warmth inside. It started off him feeling hot. And the reason that's important when he said he felt hot is because he doesn't feel anything in his physical body. So the heat was inside. And that was the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so we are thrilled. Greg is thrilled. And the Lord spoke to you. Can you say what the Lord said to you? Do you remember?
Okay.
I do. Oh,
go ahead.
He said that this is just the beginning, or it's not over yet, and I am with you. There'll be more. So that's what we're holding on to. Yay, God.
Last week, Debbie shared a story from decades ago. I shared one from 40-some years ago. And I said, though, the thing that I think God wants is for us to have our stories from right now. And that's what's starting to be built. I want to show you a clip, and then I'm going to talk about it, so don't get too scared on this. If this is scary to you, it may or may not be, but because I want to comment on it. But I've got a second John Wimber clip. And this is John Wimber when stuff started happening at his church. So let me give you that one. And then after that, we'll turn the lights back on.
Colloquial speech, it's hard to get to other places. And sound smooth, suave, and sophisticated. And I think that's an underlying dynamic here. You see, these guys were not only amazed that they were speaking in their languages, but I think the way they were speaking in their languages, they sounded so much like them. And that's what was blowing them away. Now you can accept that or not, take it or throw it out, but it's the way I look at it. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Now I want you to note something interesting. There's two kinds of people here. The people that had the experience and the people that witnessed the experience. The people that had the experience are out of it. Having a great time, you know. They're just having a ball. But the people that are watching the experience or witnessing the experience, they're described by such words as amazed, perplexed, vexed in another place, upset, I think it says somewhere up here, bewilderment. Those that were witnessing it are having a more difficult time than those that were experiencing it. You may find yourself in one or the other of those two positions over the next few days as we begin our clinics. If you find yourself in that place where you're bewildered, vexed, or perplexed, recognize that this only takes one quick step to get over on the other side of the ledger, and conversely, to get back as you try to integrate what you're learning. Some, however, have made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. And Peter gets up and addresses the crowd. Now, what we have here is a form of power encounter. Again, we're dealing with the rational and the transrational. Something transrational has occurred. Something supernatural. Something from the cosmic world has invaded the empirical world. Here's something that sounded like wind and that looked like fire has occurred to a group of men up in an upper story, and they have begun speaking in languages that are known languages but unknown to them. Now, that in itself isn't so incredibly significant, but the fact that they were speaking in so many languages and doing it so well is what makes it significant, packaged in the fact that it was instigated by this supernatural phenomena, which caused a great crowd of people to come as a result of the rushing of the wind and hearing about the flames of fire, and then seeing and encountering this stupefying, perplexing, bewildering, and vexing reality that these Galileans are speaking with such sophistication and such smoothness the languages of their own country. This foment, this dynamic, this power encounter created a foundation for the preaching of the gospel. It made an opening, it made a way for the preaching of the gospel, as it is with much supernatural phenomena. Many times when God does something of this nature, and by that I mean something in the supernatural realm that really doesn't have any direct bearing to healing or direct bearing even, in this case, to salvation, he does these kinds of things as a platform for the preaching of the gospel. And Peter, believe me, if Peter had not gotten up in the 14th verse and preached the gospel that he preached, there would have been no converts that day. We must have the coupling of the transrational with the rational, the supernatural with the natural, the power evangelism with the program evangelism. We have to have a presentation of the gospel, but we also have to have presence of Almighty God working with us. And it is that I'm speaking to, and it's that I'm calling you to account with this week, that we recognize that there's an encounter going on, people. There's an antagonism today against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but more importantly, there's an antagonism against his personhood, against his presence. And when the presence of God comes into your sanctuary and into your life, you will find that you have antagonism, that you are frightened and put off and bewildered and upset, perplexed and vexed against the very God that you've been inviting to come for years and move among you. The first time that the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Spirit in great power among us, I was fit to be tied for days. I was so angry, I was so upset, I wanted to get out of the ministry. I said, no way am I going to put up with it. Why, that's absurd what God did. Of course, I wasn't absolutely sure it was God, but even after I was convinced it was God, I had difficulty with it, and I want you to know that. When God began moving among us, and not, this particular night, we were having a church service, and in fact, that Sunday afternoon, I was coming out of the church service. It was Mother's Day, of all days, Mother's Day. If you think you'd be safe in church on Mother's Day, well, I'm walking out of the church, and God says to me, tell that young man to preach tonight. Well, I'm not in the habit of just telling any old young man to preach in my church, and I said, and particularly that young man, because I heard he was a little strange, and I said, Lord, you want me to have him preach? And the Lord said very clearly to me, yes. So I went up to him and I said, Lonnie, would you like to preach tonight in my church? He said, oh yeah, I've been waiting for the chance. I thought, oh no. I'm telling you, I died 1,000 deaths all afternoon. All afternoon I agonized. I said, oh God, you got me into it again. You got me into a mess. He's going to mess my church up. And the Lord said, when did it become your church? I said, oh, that's right. Okay. So I went to church that night, and we worshiped extra long. I found a lot of announcements that needed to be made. But and as long as I stretched it was still time. And so he's sitting there all bright and alert like a kid at his birthday party. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, he looks harmless enough. All right, come on up. So he comes up and he starts speaking. And I sit down over on his side. And I'm listening to him. And it's great. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, what was I worried about? He goes, funny. He's giving his testimony and his pathos in it. You know, and time you weep a little bit, and you salute a couple times, and he's telling you some great verses, and you're laughing and just having a wonderful time. I'm thinking, what was I worried about? This is great. You know, God, you're so good. And then he does the weirdest thing I've ever even heard of. Everything's going good. You know, all of a sudden he stops and he says, well, that's it. He said, you know, the church has been offending the Holy Spirit a long time, and he's quenched, but he's getting over it. And we're going to invite him to come and minister. Now, come, Holy Spirit, and whammo! The Spirit of God comes. And people start fighting. Well, first of all, he says, everybody 25 years and under, come forward. Well, in our church, that's everybody. You know, they're all coming up there. There's hundreds of them up, all crowded around the stage. And he says, come, Holy Spirit. And the next thing I know, people are falling and bouncing in there, and they're laying on the floor, and they're talking like turkey. And one kid, he falls, and the microphone falls with him, you know, and it's laying right in front of his face. And he's speaking in tongues, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about 2 minutes. I'm talking about 45 minutes he's talking through that microphone. And we're wading through bodies, you know, trying to get over to him. And we can't get the microphone off, and we can't get to him. And Lonnie is going like a banshee. You know, he's running through the crowd and raising his hands. And, you know, and I'm thinking he's pushing people over. He's knocking them down. But he's not even touching them. He's walking by them, and they're going wham, wham, you know, and falling everywhere. And I'm thinking, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, get me out of here. And people are grabbing their Bibles and going, not me. And they're going out the door. Some of them I never have seen. That was 4 years ago, you know.
So, you want to hit the lights? Thanks. I mean, this is John Wimber in his church, and I mean, he's known for this kind of thing. And yet, when it first hit, and I mean, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here. And I'm not saying that's not what's going to happen here. One of the things we know, and I have been through at least 3 or 4 movements of the Holy Spirit, is that it's different every time. And that's cool. It's different people. First one I saw was 42 years ago, and I haven't recovered from that since. It's why I don't have a six-figure engineering job. It's not because I really like church and eating donuts and singing songs. It's because of this. This is what we came for. It was interesting when he said that in Pentecost, which is what we were talking about last week, that the preaching the gospel was so important. When we watched Robbie Dawkins this weekend, he was telling stories in which someone would be healed. And once they were healed, they were kind of open to hearing the gospel, that there was a God. And he would often say things like, you know, God healed your back. Now he wants to heal the rest of your life, to bring it into that good of a condition as your back. And that, so preaching the gospel is so important. Lonnie Frisbee is an absolute, or was an absolute nut. But he was gifted by God. God doesn't gift the cool people. He doesn't gift the educated people. Well, he can, but that's not the criteria. He gifts whoever he wants to gift. And so it's something that we just don't have any control over. What he's talking about here, it wasn't his church every Sunday. We still have church. It's kind of like it's back when we were founding the country. There were two kinds of people. There were townspeople, and there were the pioneers. And even maybe a third, which is the scouts who went way out ahead before the pioneers. You needed both. In a church, we can't just be a Robbie Dawkins conference every Sunday. It's not going to play out that way. We can be open to any time that the Holy Spirit wants to do something. We want to be ready to do it. But we also are those who are ministering to each other. We're also reaching out to the single moms. We're reaching out to the community. We're still doing the things we were doing before. Hopefully there's more power behind it now. And so it's not a matter of we're going to now go do all these crazy things instead of church. Because church is the body of Christ. It is still God doing what God's doing amongst us, which can be healing, can be preaching the gospel, but it can be loving folks. It can be just there for them when they need it. So that's what's important. But one of the messages that I want to leave you with, and then we're going to go into a ministry time, is that I do believe that God isn't calling us to have all this fun time so we can come to church and have a fun time, but that he's calling us to go out into the community and to do what he did. Do what Jesus did is the mantra that we heard this weekend. And that's what he's calling us to do. That is darn hard. Robbie said it was hard for him when he started. And kids just went 1,280 miles, so. But God's calling us to step out and pray for people. Remember risk. Robbie, and actually even told stories about his son, who would see somebody needed healing and call a crowd around because it increased the risk, and said, "Lord, we pray for healing." That's what he's calling us to do. We think in our minds, we can't do that. How in the world could we pray for some stranger? I have a clip. This time it's not John Wimber. It's not Robbie Dawkins. It's Matt Damon. Okay. But it's from a movie, and they're talking about this young man and his romantic relationship. But just think about it in terms of us going out to pray for people or to serve the poor, to whatever he's calling us to, that it's going to say, I may even play this twice. We had to listen to it twice. It's like 30, 40 seconds, but it's from a movie called We Bought a Zoo. I don't know if any of you saw that. We saw it, but I didn't notice this in it, so, but let me show that to you. You're going to have to crank it up a little.
What happened with you and Lily?
I don't know. I guess I didn't listen to something she told me or something. I mean, I liked her. It's like you embarrass yourself if you say something, and you embarrass yourself if you don't.
You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
Did you get that? Let me do it again. I think I can do it again without ruining stuff. Let me see what happens. Yeah. It worked.
What happened with you and Lily?
I don't know. I guess I didn't listen to something she told me or something. I mean, I liked her. It's like you embarrass yourself if you say something, and you embarrass yourself if you don't.
You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds. Of insane courage, just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
It's hard to do that. It's hard to reach out. It's embarrassing. Robbie said that he believes that our desperation is the most important thing. That's why in some of the third world countries, they're so desperate for God's help that it's happening. And he says, your desperation has to be greater than your fear of being embarrassed for Christ. He said, some of us will take a bullet for Christ, but we sure don't want to be embarrassed for him. And that gets you. I mean, it's like that's true. We're going to have ministry time now. And with a little bit of fear and trepidation, I'm going to say, come Holy Spirit. We want to open this up to anyone who has any kind of a sense of what God wants to do, say, anyone who has a need for prayer, whatever it is that God wants to do. We want to join in with him. So let's just turn our hearts to the Lord. Do you want to come up? For right now, Phil, would you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
When I got up last week, I told everybody about how when I was on the border of Mexico living in Del Rio, how I was asking God how to reach out and to touch people. And what he told me as I was on my way home, looking down at my dusty feet with sandals on, the dusty road I was walking on, was very simple but yet profound. And he said, just walk like I walk. Well, and like I said last week, that was over 30 years ago. I never really understood what he meant. And my son, my youngest son, my 25-year-old, had an experience a month or two ago. He felt God wanted him to fast and pray for his Uncle Dave, who has cancer. So he did. And he was on the second day of fasting. He had just a marvelous experience where God really visited him. And God just shared with him. It was, he said, God just showed me. It was always, always, always supposed to be like this. Now, this kind of thing is strange to a lot of us, you know, and it was strange to me when I first received the Holy Spirit. But this is the way that Jesus, that Father, that the Holy Spirit has always, always meant it to be. One of the enemy's favorite tools is religion. And we got a lot of sleepy little churches all over the place. But it was never meant to be. A church is a place where you come, you get excited, and then you go out and you give. You give of Jesus. Because every one of us who accepts Jesus and is filled with the Holy Spirit has that power. And right now, all over this country, God is raising up a bunch of people. He is pouring himself out, and you are going to see it grow and grow and grow. And this church is going to be a major instrument in growing out into our communities, growing out into our state, growing out into our nation, and who knows where. But it's not an abnormal thing. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. And some, I think a lot of times what people get really scared of that is something that's going to happen to their body and they're shaking and all that. And I was scared when it first happened, but it's awesome. Basically, it's God loving on you and empowering you. But you're not empowered just to sit and do nothing. You're empowered to go out and in God's name and through God's power and with God's heart to love other people. Let them know. Everyone is loved tremendously. So that's why we need to go out. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody here who wants God's power can simply ask for it. Come up, ask for it, we'll pray for you, and God's Spirit will fill you. And you will have that power. You will taste it because it's no good unless you taste that power. Because it's easy to die off. But that power will keep you going and going and going. So that's all we're saying, is we've been waiting for this to happen, and it's happening, and it's going to continue to happen. So I just would like, don't be afraid. It's a good thing. Anybody who wants this, I promise you, it's a good thing.
So it's an invitation that she's talking about, but and you can, we can do it here. You can do it on your own, but one of the reasons we come together is that there just seems to be more power when folks come together. The analogy I've heard is, it's a difference between one stick or one log on fire and a whole pile of sticks and logs on fire in a campfire. It's more than the number of sticks in size. It's there's a way in which God works, so. Let's continue to turn our hearts to the Lord. Yeah. Then I'll let Steve choose to do that. He doesn't know stuff he doesn't know. It's called the gift of knowledge that God gives us. It's kind of like, if there's one thing, it's healing that gets folks' attention, but it's another thing when you know something about their life. They called me up Friday night. Robbie asked me to come up to pray when the people were coming forward, and I had this young lady, and she's just sitting there, and I'm standing there, and I'm praying, and she's just nothing, you know. And she said, the prayer was about people who felt distanced from God. And so she's just, and so I said, do you feel anything? After you pray a while, you get an update, nothing. So pray a little bit more. Okay, what about now? Nope, nothing. And I've just felt God say, ask her what her story is. And so I said, what is your story? And she just broke down crying and said, it's horrible. And that broke things open. God wants to use various gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're tools to get to people's hearts. And it's about helping them to receive Christ. So, anyone else?
Well, I'm a waitress at Big Boy.
I'm sorry?
I'm a waitress at Big Boy.
Okay.
And just last week, I served these two ladies their food. And then as I was walking away, they were like, is it your turn to say grace? And then I got all excited and stuff, and I went over there, and I was like, that's so cute. It's like so amazing that you guys would do that.
Wonderful.
So I just think it's really amazing.
Yeah, great. Yeah. We have more opportunities out there at our job, our families, the activities we're doing, than we do for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. I mean, this is great. And I'm going to require you all to continue coming. But
I have one.
It's okay. But it's important that we reach out. She saw an opportunity to speak into it. Nothing else, it was an encouragement for the people. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Last week, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, Ashley and Cody both responded to what was going on. And Ashley actually received the Holy Spirit last Sunday. And there is just such a glowing and something new happening in you, would you say? I see it. Mm-hmm. And I see it and I hear it in your voice. And evidence of that is what you've done at work, and that you're not afraid to talk about the Lord. There's just something that it's not as scary as it was. Am I putting words in your mouth? I don't mean to. No. That's good. That's good. Yeah. And so as a response, when we respond to God, He responds by filling us with a desire to share about Him. And this is what we're seeing. And it's really happening, folks. This is really happening. We're not talking about it anymore. This is the real stuff, and it's happening right now.
Yeah.